Job chapter number 29, and verse number 18. Job 29, verse number 18. The Bible says there, "Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand." My text is in verse number 18. The Bible says, "Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand." I want to use as my text these words, "I shall die in my nest." And I want to bring a message on this subject, the plan of a man. Earlier, of course, I had preached on longing after the good old days. And in the case of Job, Job had gone through a time with great trials, great afflictions. He'd gone into that time of the captivity of Satan. There had been those satanic attacks against him. And I believe that Job, in that same chapter that we're in, chapter number 29, that Job had looked back at a time in which God had protected him, men respected him. I believe he looked back at a time in which he prospered materially, he prospered spiritually. God had blessed him so in so many ways, and it was so evident that God had greatly blessed him. His posterity was near him, the Bible says, "when my children were about me." And yet there came this time of this great attack, and things had changed in so many ways. We might consider a summary of the lives of some. And I realize this is the life, we can say this about the lives of some, but the lives of people vary very much. First of all, pain years, and then gain years, recline years, and decline years. Building up, yielding fruit, wielding influence, shielding possessions, yielding to pains and problems of old age. If a person looks back over his life, he may see that there were times in his life when he was very well able to do things that after a while he's no longer able to do. His body can change. His mind can change. He can change in so many ways. In the case of Job, of course, these attacks came upon him suddenly, and there were so many things that were altered, and the opinions of so many people were changed about Job. You can look at this chapter, and you can see how it was before the attacks came. Then if you look in chapter number 30, you can see about the changes that came and how people treated him so much differently. In the court of public opinion, you may find that at one time people look upon you well. They think you are a good person, even a great person. At another time, they may look down upon you. They may look upon you as something much less than what you ought to be. In the case of Job, I believe there was a time that in the court of public opinion, he was highly esteemed. And then there came a time in which he was greatly condemned, even by his friends. The Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, tells us about a man that indulged tremendously in a variety of things. Solomon, of course, was allowed to, by the grace of God, indulge in a number of things. In chapters 1 and 2, the Bible gives us some indication of different things that he did, and so much of what he did had to do with the work of his hands. God gave him so much that he could work with, and the Scripture talks about the many things that he did having to do with the planting and the building and so on. There are so many things that he did early along in his life. But then if you go on to the end of the book, in chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the days draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." In that scripture, the Bible talks about evil days. The Bible talks about the days of youth, and in contrast, the evil days. The word evil, we might think about the way we use the word bad. And we might think about a person that early along, he's healthy, Perhaps he's got much as far as wealth is concerned, and things are going well for him. You might say he's having a lot of good days. And then later on in his life, he may find that he has a lot of bad days. The Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, in a very picturesque way, describes how it can be for a person when a person gets older. The Bible talks about trembling, weakness, fewness of teeth, dimness of vision, being shut in, disrupted sleep, poor hearing, fear of high things, failed desire. The silver cord is loosed. The golden bowl is broken. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The world traveler may come to a point where he confines himself to traveling to town, and then after a while he may confine himself to his home, and then after a while he may confine himself to his room. And so it goes, a person's world may get so much smaller sometimes as he gets older, and he just does not have the ability to see and to hear and to function as he once did. Now, of course, thank the Lord for all of those that reach very late years and still have their eyes are not dimmed, and their hearing is still sharp, and their strength is still great. But for so many, there's a great decline, and a person's world may get smaller and smaller. Now, if you believe what the Bible says, that it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. And if you, by reading the Word of God, and perhaps whether you've read the Word of God about it or not, you just simply look about you and you see that people sometimes early in life, they're so busy, they're active about this and that, and involved in this and that, and their lives decline, and they come to a point where they just can't do what they used to do. And you know that every one of us is headed for death. It is appointed unto men once to die. Now, of course, unless the Lord cancels that appointment, that's where all of us are headed. The Bible says, and then the judgment, and all of us shall stand, shall appear at the judgment seat of Christ. But as far as the appointment to death, except God Himself canceled that appointment by the coming of Jesus Christ, all of us shall die. Now, when a person realizes that it is so common for a person to decline in health as he gets older, decline in abilities as he gets older, and then comes to a point where he eventually passes away, he may find some comfort at least in the words of this text, I shall die in my nest. Verse 18, then I said, I shall die in my nest and shall multiply my days as the sand. So imagine Job having lived a life in which he had prospered so much materially, he had prospered so much spiritually, he was, as it might be said, in his nest, and looking forward, as it might be said, to dying in his nest. And of course, I believe he knew that he would die, but he was looking to the idea of dying in his nest and perhaps thinking about his children being around him and the comforts that he had. And he probably enjoyed more comforts than the average person did in his day, had so much money that he could buy things that other people could not buy. And that he would die in his nest. Who knows how many people down through the years have had the thought, and they may not have worded it this way, but one way or another they might have thought to themselves, I'll die in my nest. And yet, coming near the end of the life, they found out they were not going to die in their nest, and their lives were greatly disrupted. I think in America, we are beginning to see some things, the kind of things that have happened in other countries where other people, and I believe that books could be written volumes could be produced of people basically had the idea, I'll die in my nest. And war, disruptions in government, a variety of things happened in their lives so that they were not allowed to die in their nest. You may find some people that are right now in some place of care, some rescue mission type place, or you may find some people that perhaps are under a bridge somewhere. At one time, they seem to be doing so well, they're prospering financially, they may have had a plan for how the end of their life would go, and it didn't turn out the way they planned. The Bible says in that verse, then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. Of course, we might think about there about the prosperity or the supply for prosperity. My root was spread out by the waters. The dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. And sometimes when a person has much, he may have to protect what he has. But in that case, my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. Imagine a day in which people, they listened to what Job had to say. They respected him. Beginning with verse 22, after my words, they spake not again. And my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as the rain. And they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. And of course, I believe what Job was describing was a time in which people were, as it might be said, thirsty. They wanted to hear what he had to say. He was a good man. He was a great man. And I believe the man had much wisdom to impart. Beginning with verse 24. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. And the light of my countenance they cast not down. I believe that Job was such a man. People did not want to disappoint him. Verse 25, I chose out their way. Those are interesting words. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army. As one that comforteth mourners. Let me go back to my text. Job, before all the attacks of Satan came against him, said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. And it might have been at this point he was not so sure that he would be able to do this. To die in his nest. I want to deal with a few things having to do with the nest of a man. The next chapter, of course, is one that has so many negative things. But thank the Lord, there are so many positive things that happen in our lives, and there are so many things for us to be thankful for. Even if life takes unexpected turns, there are still many things to be thankful for. First of all, let's consider this. Build a nest within the will of God. I was just singing about the will of God, the center of God's will. Build a nest within God's will. It is good for us to, within the will of God, as God leads us to, as it might be said, become settled, settle in the will of God, stay in the will of God, find the will of God. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse number 8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. It's good for us to discern the will of God. Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6, and Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. There are verses of appropriation. If you want to know the will of God, there are instructions in the Word of God for finding the will of God for your life. It is good for us to find the will of God, to settle into the will of God, to stay in the will of God. And I believe that so often God leads a man to settle somewhere, to get to work, to be busy about the work of God. And so build a nest within the will of God. Now sometimes people just try to build a nest. In fact, most people are not following the will of God, but a few seek for the will of God. They want to do what God wants them to do. But then sometimes, though a person is in the will of God, then he may become discontent in the will of God. Sometimes because of a lack of a commitment to doing the will of God, because of a lack of contentment with the will of God, people turn aside. We are to find the will of God and stay there. Well, Dr. Seidler said he wanted to die in the harness. And I believe he found out where he ought to be and he stayed there. And God used him over the years. And find out where God wants you to be, stay there, unless or until God changes the plan. I realize that Jesus Christ said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus Christ, of course, had a job to do while he was here upon the earth. He was single, never married, and some people may lie about him and say he was. He never married. In fact, he was here to get a bride, and he was going to prepare a place for her. And by the way, I think that is a good pattern. I believe God dealt with me about that years ago. That's a good pattern. Prepare a place before marriage. And in this case, Jesus Christ was here, and he was gathering a bride, and he was going to go to prepare a place for her. First of all, a nest can be a place of rest. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 4. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee." It's good to settle into the will of God, find out where God would have you to serve and what God would have you to do. Stay there, stay steady at it. I think it's such a wonderful thing to have a good church home. And I know you might say, well, that seems strange, you being the pastor. Still, this is my church home. It's a blessing to have this church. It's a blessing to have a place of rest. The Bible talks about there, about the swallow and the sparrow. The swallow, a nest for herself where she may lay her young. And of course, you might think about it. It's a good place to rest. It's a good place to bring up children. Settled in the will of God, doing the will of God, settled into a good church. That's such a blessing. A nest can be a place of rest. A nest can be a place, a good place, to rear children, where there's safety and there's stability. But now remember this. All earthly nests are temporal. And you may say, well, I found out what God wants me to do, and I'm doing this. While I'm here upon the earth, I found out where God wants me to go to church. I'm going to church there. But remember, all earthly nests are temporal. God gives us places to rest. God gives us places to grow and places to work here upon this earth, but they're all temporal. And the church, of course, shall go on. And there shall never be a time. Don't let anybody ever try to tell you that there's going to be a time during this age in which there shall be no church. The church shall continue on to the very end of this age, and then Christ will take it away. But still, in many cases, a church has had its candlestick removed. And you may find that there are places where there used to be churches, where there are no longer churches. And except by the grace of God, we follow the will of God here, things could change so much that this would be no longer a place of rest and a place of spiritual growth. Things could change drastically and terribly here if we cease to follow the Word of God. And so, remember that all earthly nests are temporal. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verses 11 and 12. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. In that case, we might think about God stirring up a nest. A nest can be destroyed. A nest can be disrupted. God might stir your nest. Sometimes a person may have found the will of God, whether it be for a church, or he might find the will of God as far as the kind of work he's to do and the place he is to labor. Then God may see fit for one reason or another to stir his nest. Sometimes God may stir the nest in order to stir you up in the nest. As far as I know, Job never left his nest. Even with all the satanic attacks against him, all the trouble he had in his life, I don't have any reason to think that Job did not die in his nest. But all the disruptions that took place, the changes that took place in his home and about him, so many changes took place. Sometimes it may be the will of God for you to stay right where you are while he stirs the nest up, and changes come for your good and for his glory. I'm going to give you these words. It's a little bit lengthy, but this quotation. Men get accustomed to an even tenor of life, no matter what it is, and learn to shape their temper and their calculations according to it. But these lessons of philosophy vanish when they pass suddenly from one extreme to another and find their condition of life suddenly changed. The garment that was adapted to weather a uniform temperature, whether of heat or cold, fails to be fitted to our wants when these transitions rapidly succeed each other. Such changes are constantly occurring in life. God tries his people not by a steady course of prosperity or by long-continued uniform adversity, but by transition from one to the other. And it often happens that the grace which would have been sufficient for either continued prosperity or adversity would fail in the transition from one to the other. Hence, new grace is imparted for this new form of trial. And new traits of Christian character are developed in these rapid transitions of life. In the case of Job, I don't have any reason to think that he ever left the nest, but the disruptions that took place, I believe God was doing a variety of things. I believe that God was not only working for our good, but God was also working with Job as well. As good a man as he was, I believe God was working in Job's life with all the disruptions, the stirring of the nest. But in that case, in the scripture that I gave you earlier from the book of Deuteronomy, we might consider that as an illustration of the fact that God may stir your nest to prepare you to leave the nest. And so many times, I believe people have thought, I'll die in my nest. And God stirred the nest so that they would leave the nest. because that was not the will of God for them at that time. A person may be in a place, a person may be in a position, and God may work in wonderful ways in that person's life, and it be the perfect will of God for him for a time. And then God may stir the nest. Number three, be willing to leave one nest for another within the will of God. If God stirs your nest and says you need to move, then you just need to move. Remember Abram? And it was the will of God for him to leave and to go to the land of Canaan. That was the will of God for him. He might have seemed to be very content and settled where he was, but it was God's will for him to move. And I don't know what God has for each one of us, but the Lord knows where we are now. The Lord knows where we ought to be in the future. God may have us in a place serving that it's the perfect will of God now, but then God may say, now I've got another place over here where I want you. Now, I've pastored this church for years. I've got no indication God wants me to leave this church. But on the other hand, I don't believe I ought to ever come to the point where I say, I'll never leave this church. I refuse to leave this church. I need to be open to do the will of God, whatever it is. And you need to be open to do the will of God as well. Sometimes we may think I'll die in my nest, and God may say, no, you're not. I got some other plans for you. And you and I should be willing to leave one nest for another within the will of God. And then last of all, consider this. Be ready to leave an earthly nest for a heavenly home. This is just a temporal place for us. We're here for a season. We're here for a time. But we're not here for long. I find it interesting that in the book of Job, we have the story of a rich man. A rich man that went under great trials and attacks and condemnation. A rich man that was living for God before the attacks came. A rich man that lived for God during the time that he was attacked. And I believe he did outstandingly well in the midst of all the pressure and the trouble that he faced. And I believe he went on. He lived for God. And God blessed him tremendously. I personally believe that it really might be harder to be rich and stay right than to be in other situations. But to be rich and to stay right, I believe that there are some unique challenges. In fact, let me run through this quickly. Plenty can lead to pickiness, peculiarities, pride, prodigality, puniness of character, pouting, and unreasonable protesting. But there's a story in Luke 12 about a rich man. There's a rich man in the book of Job attacked by Satan. There's a rich man spoken of in the book of Luke and chapter number 12. I believe they both had nice nests, as it might be said. And I believe that both of their lives were disrupted greatly by God. Look, if you will, Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12 and beginning with verse number 15. In Luke chapter number 12, beginning with verse 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Not rich toward God. The man was materially rich. He was spiritually broke. He was not rich toward God. And of course, I believe the man was not going to heaven. He was not prepared for that which was to come. He was so focused on getting his nest ready, on taking care of things so that the end of his life would be easy. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We need to be all of us to be ready to leave whatever nest we're in to go to a heavenly home. So many people are not ready. The Bible talks about a rich man that died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He was rich, but not ready. He was rich as far as the world's goods were concerned, but he was not rich toward God. He was not ready for death. And you might say, well, I want to get my nest ready, and I'll die in my nest. For one thing, you don't know if you'll die in your nest. Life can change so suddenly. And then, even if you die in your nest, even if you have a relatively comfortable end, what comes after that? Will you go to a hell, a place where you'll suffer? Will you go to a place where there you'll be in the darkness and the fire? Will you be cast into the lake of fire? Or will you be brought into a heavenly home, leaving a temporal earthly nest with comforts, yes, but still with so many imperfections, leaving an earthly nest to go to a perfect heavenly home? Where are you going after this life? And people put so much of an emphasis on getting the nest ready in this life. Job. And I believe at the time that Job said what he did there in Job 29, he did not know how things would go. He had said, I shall die in my nest. But then all these attacks came. He had lost so much lifestyle. He lost so many things. He might have been wondering then, I don't know if I'll die in my nest or not. But I can say one thing about Job. He had a heavenly home waiting. In fact, the Bible says in Job 19, verses 25 and 26, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He had a hope beyond this life. If all you have is a wonderful nest in this life, but you're not ready for what comes after this life, you're poor. You're a poor person. But a poor person, like Lazarus. Remember the beggar? The beggar upon the earth. And there would be the dogs. And he would take the crumbs, try to get crumbs from the rich man's table. And yet the angels came and carried him. And he went to Abraham's bosom. He went to paradise. You might say, well, I got my nest ready here. It's just temporary. It's not going to last long. Then, where will you be? All of us that are saved by the grace of God, it's good for us to find the will of God, stay in the will of God, do the will of God. If God disrupts our lives, if God says you got to move to another nest, then I believe we ought to be content. Say, if that's what you want, I'm willing to move. But no matter what happens down here, I have a heavenly home.
Amen.
I have a place prepared. If you will, please stand. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer.